You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, my friends? How are you all? Thanks for tuning in to the Rational Revolution. I'm Mark Becker. We're here again this week, and thank you so much to Civic Media for allowing us to do this wonderful program and bring this type of programming to all corners of Wisconsin. So, if you heard last week, that was Jeff Cabaservice. Oh my God, sorry, buddy. And he's from the Niskanen Center in Washington, D.C. We talked about all sorts of stuff from, you know, the National Guard troops in D.C. to what's going on with the Trump administration. That was fascinating, and he's so brilliant. So if you liked that episode, if you want to hear this one again, because you probably will, listen to wherever you get your podcasts, download them, like, share, all that stuff. Civicmedia.us, where you'll find me. And you'll also find my guest here, who's he's Mark as well, Mark Scheffler. And he is running for, just announced, I think this week, running for the 8th Congressional District seat, currently held by, what's his name? I don't know. He's not really super present. Oh, yeah. Tony Weed. Trump endorsed Tony Weed. So what's up, man? Welcome.
Hey, great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
What'd you been up to? Nothing much?
Nothing much.
Yeah.
We did a soft launch of the campaign a couple of weeks ago. I filed back in the first part of August.
Congratulations.
And then we just did the public launch press release dropped on Monday. So happy to be in Green Bay. This is one of the first stops.
Thank you. What's your background? Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a Wisconsin guy. Been in the state my whole life. Grew up in rural Marathon County, just outside of Wausau. Mom's side of the family were all dairy farmers. Mm. My dad's side of the family was in the pulp and paper industry. They were the first in their families to graduate high school.
Oh, wow.
And I was the first to graduate college. In fact, my mom went to one of these small little rural one-room schoolhouses.
Oh, nice.
Growing up.
Sweet.
not that far away from, pretty rural times.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
What did you do for a living? What tell us about your experience and all that stuff.
Yeah. So I was the first to go to college in my family.
Yeah.
First to graduate from a 4-year college. Both of my brothers, we're both North Central Technical College guys, and they both graduated from there.
Okay.
I just had a really, really good upbringing. Went to Lawrence University, graduated from there. My degree is in education.
Oh, cool.
And so I taught in junior high school in Kenosha.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For 3 years. And that was an interesting experience because it was a majority minority school.
Yep.
So growing up in Wausau, I was getting to be a little bit more diverse with the Hmong moving in. But boy, Kenosha is, it's America. It really is the face of America. So I was there for 3 years, got engaged, came up to Appleton area and tried to continue in teaching. There were no jobs available at that time for me. So I took a temp job working in financial services. And then 28 years later, I just retired.
Oh, so my God.
28-year temp job.
Like a 20-year temp job, like a financial advisor. Is that kind of what you did? Or?
Yeah, we had a kind of a specialty firm. So I worked for a brokerage firm for 6 years. And then in the first big economic downturn of the 21st century, that was 2001 and 2002, the dot-com blow-up all that. So in 2002, I had a strategy where, you know, we actively manage investment risk. And so the firm that I was working for at the time, we just really didn't see eye to eye on how best to manage risk. So like any good entrepreneur, any good capitalist, I said, hey, I kind of want to do this on my own. Mm. So I started a firm called Appleton Group. We specialized in sustainable economics. So it was a risk management plan. It was a growth firm. From start to finish, we created more than $100 million of growth and income for families and businesses almost exclusively right here in Northeast Wisconsin. So that's something cool. I'm really proud of. We had economic impact of about $12 million for salaries and benefits and vendor relationships. And one of my big things was whenever we could buy local, use local vendors as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, you know, a big piece of my campaign as well, is just feeding a local economy.
Yeah,
it's been, I mean, a really, really great run. I sold the firm to another Wisconsin institution, a big bank out of Racine. And then had a chance to retire early because I wanted to go into public service. And so here we are.
Nice. That's a good story for the campaign. You know, it is, of what you did and your experience that you had. That's pretty awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get your temp job and you leave the 28-year temp job. And then what?
Yeah, so I ran
public service.
Yeah, I ran for state senate actually when I was still working. So that was in I filed in 2021 and was in the race for 10 months. And honestly, it was a really great experience. So that was in the 19th Senate District, state senate, and I was running in a seat that was going to be an open seat actually. Roger Roth had held that seat, and then he moved on to run for lieutenant governor that year. So it was an open seat. I was in the race until May of 22. My father passed away unexpectedly.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I dropped out of the race to help my mom. She really needed transition help in getting into her new life. Mm. So I did that and then worked for another couple of years. And then just I wanted to get back into public service. So it was time for me to move on to kind of the next chapter. And like I said, here we are.
Here we are. So why this district?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what I say, and I truly mean this from my heart. I mean, I've lived in Northeast Wisconsin now for most of my adult life. Yeah. And, you know, I've come to know the places of Northeast Wisconsin, but I've also come to know the people of Northeast Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I've spent a lot of time up here, a lot of time in, you know, in Appleton and Green Bay and Door County and, you know, time in Waupaca and Shawano County and Marinette, Oconto, Kewaunee County. Used to go fishing with my cousin out of Algoma, go salmon fishing out of Algoma. So it's the thing that I really, really like about this area is that the people of Northeast Wisconsin are just, I think, really, really, truly special. The values and the virtues that we have up here, you know, it's reflected in, you know, the Green Bay Packers, you know, for example. It's a community-owned organization. That really does shape kind of the conversations and the culture of this part of the United States. And what I really want to do is I want to be an excellent salesperson for the 8th Congressional District. And I want the rest of America to know about the 8th Congressional District. And I want to take the values and virtues of the people of this district, all of us from all walks of life. It's a rich community, but I want to take these values and virtues in, and I want to do something pretty bold, and that is to reshape the direction of our country to better reflect the congressional district. I want to reshape our political parties to be more like the values and virtues of the people of the 8th Congressional District. And I want, and we'll talk a little bit about this too maybe, but I want to do a power grab for the people of the 8th Congressional District, and I can tell you kind of what that means.
Go ahead. What does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody who follows politics kind of knows that, you know, we're a highly fractured country, but we're almost split right down the middle. And the House of Representatives in Congress is exactly that. I mean, it's just a few seats. It's a super, super thin majority for the Republicans right now. But, you know, an everyday rank and file congressman or congresswoman really doesn't have a lot of influence. They get kind of buried, especially if they're a first term, you know, representative.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I know. And I think Mike Gallagher figured that out pretty quickly, you know, that he had to toe the party line if he was going to advance. And I think people from the Democratic side kind of figured that out right away, too. So I'll tell you today what I've been telling people up and down the district, and that is that I'm funding my campaign in a very different way. I'm not taking PAC money. I'm not taking corporate money. And I'm not going to take national party machine money from the Democratic Party. And the reason is because I really, really want to have the 8th Congressional District have an inordinate amount of influence in Washington. And here's the way that we do that. And that is that if I win this seat, I'm a Democrat. I've been a Democrat for really my entire adult life. And the progressive values I would never, ever betray. What I want to do, though, is that if I win this seat, I will rescind my party affiliation during the time that I'm in office, not to betray my progressive values at all, but actually to give the people of the 8th Congressional District an enormous amount of influence over the direction of the country. Because a freshman congressperson has no influence at all. But I would be the only independent congressman. I'm running as a Dem, I am a Dem, but I would be the only independent congressman in the House of Representatives. And that means that if the Democratic Party wants to pass legislation, they have to go through us. The Republican Party, if they want to pass legislation, they have to go through us. So it gives us tremendous influence over the direction of the country. And so when I talk to conservatives about that, they love that idea. When I talk to Democrats about it, they're a little bit shaky at first, but then when I explain how that would work and how it would actually help us to get the policies that we want passed.
Yeah, makes sense.
This is, you're
kind of breaking some news here a little bit. I can see how Democrats, as we talked to Mark Scheffler, he's running for the 8th Congressional District. I can see how Democrats would be a little bit leery about that.
Yeah.
Can you?
Sure. But, you know, it's not unheard of. It actually works in the Senate. There are two independent senators right now, and both of them caucus with the Democrats. And that's a model that works really, really well. It gives those two senators, again, enormous influence over the direction in the Senate. And I think in the House, that would be exactly the same case.
Yeah. I'm a little thrown off, gotta be honest. So how would that work in terms of when you're campaigning? I mean, you're wanting the endorsement and the you know, you're running for the Democratic seat, the nomination.
That's right. Yeah.
And then you're gonna say, okay, thanks, bye.
Oh no. And
I mean, like,
yeah, that's what people think immediately. So, I mean, the issue really is, you know, Tony Weed, for example, and I don't talk a lot about Tony on the campaign trail, but, you know, and I think a lot of congressmen do this. They'll say that they represent everybody in the district.
But he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, it's impossible. I mean, when you're in that machine and when you've been funded by one particular party, you just mm-hmm. really can't do that. So what I keep telling people is that one of the virtues that I really do appreciate is this idea of moderation. Right. Mm-hmm. So the idea of moderation is simply recognizing that very few solutions ever come from the fringes of either party, really anything that's lasting at all.
Yeah.
You know, if one party's in power, they can certainly swing the election one way or the other. They can swing the direction of the country one way or another. But I'm in the race to talk about these universal issues and through that progressive lens, you know, progressive lens like fighting Bob La Follette, you know, was one of the great progressive
Democrats.
Leaders.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, he was a Republican, and then he switched over to being a progressive. Same thing.
Yep.
Teddy Roosevelt did the same thing. So it's not unheard of at all.
Well, yeah, switching parties is not unheard of. I mean, shoot, I did that. You know, I think, you know, running for office and then saying that you're going to rescind your party affiliation, that's a little different. That was something that... I want to hit on that a little bit more here at the other side of the break, because that's something that I think people should know. That's interesting, and that's definitely different. that is different. We're talking with Mark Scheffler here. I'm Mark Becker on the Rational Revolution here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll catch you back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What have we done with innocence? Ah, the Foo Fighters. Here playing the hits on the Rational Revolution. Hi, Mark Becker. So welcome back here. We've got Mark Scheffler, who is a candidate for the 8th Congressional District. And he, we're talking about how he's saying that what you're going to do is, if you win, you're going to drop the party affiliation completely.
While I'm in office.
While you're in office. Yep. Okay. So I understand how the conservatives would love that, because they would see someone who's a Democrat only to leave the party when it matters. And Democrats are would be a little bit, you know, tepid on that, because they see someone fighting for the nomination of their party. And I mean, you can see how they've kind of been through the trenches a little bit over the last, you know, year for sure, but especially during the time when Trump is in office. I mean, it's been really hard.
Yeah.
And so I can see how they would be a little bit nervous seeing someone that is running for the Democratic nomination who would just leave the party while in office. And I understand about like how you would caucus with the Democrats and all that kind of stuff. I just that's a bold strategy, Cotton.
You know? Yeah, it is. You know, but it's kind of one of the things that I think the country is actually hungry for. I think the country is hungry for politicians that actually have some bold ideas, some bold initiatives. But I, from talking to people up and down the district for years, I mean, when I was in wealth management, I had a lot of conservative clients.
And
had a lot of progressive clients too. In fact, some really far left, pretty liberal clients. In fact. And so for me, it was just an issue of getting to the heart of a lot of the economic issues. Mm-hmm. And when it comes right down to it, I mean, the economy really doesn't care if you're Republican or Democrat. If you can't put food on the table, if you don't have a living wage, if you don't have, you know, protections for health care in Oconto or in Chilton, you know, or in Sturgeon Bay, if you don't have those types of things, the economy doesn't really care if you're Republican or a Democrat. Again, these are universal things. And, you know, as I talk to Democrats, the first thought that I would say is with mainline Democrats that are aligned with the party entirely, for them, the party is everything. But the real recognition is that even like in Outagamie County, it's a small number of people that actually belong to the party compared to the total number of voters. I mean, there were 420,000 voters in the last election. Overwhelmingly, neither of them belong to the Democratic Party or to the Republican Party. So that tells me that, you know, there's a lot of open-mindedness and there's a whole lot of middle to be explored.
Yeah. But I think too, you know, as someone who ran a party, there's a lot of, you know, you run into people, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm a lifelong Republican. Oh, are you a member of the party? No, I didn't need to do that, but they'll donate. You know, so I don't necessarily think it's, you know, being a, and quite frankly, there's a lot of people that would consider themselves a lifelong party member and didn't know that, in, you know, how to even become a party member.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, but I do think that there's a lot of room for people. You know, Wisconsin is a purple state, and I think this district is winnable if you're talking to the right people and you're saying the right things.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of voters see through this facade of someone who will just say anything to get elected, right? You know, so that happens all the time.
Yeah.
I was asked the question, you know, this morning, hey, you know, if you're going to win the primary, you have to run far left. And then if you're going to win in the general, then you have to moderate. And I'll tell the voters from the start that, you know, you check out my website, check out my socials, check out the posts that I've got already. It is, you know, who I am. I am who I am. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the great things about it is it definitely gives voters a chance to compare and contrast. We're going to have the first primary in the Democratic Party in the congressional race in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fantastic. I think primaries are a great thing.
Yes.
I think that the Democratic Party for a long, long time has tried to pick winners and losers. And this time, again, it's the voters that are going to do that.
Yep.
And again, if the voters, you know, choose me, I'll answer the call. If the voters choose somebody else, I respect that. That's part of the democratic process.
It is. Yeah. And I think, you know, and it's up to the right person to make that case, you know, and I think at the end of the day, Tony Weed needs to be beat, you know, because, and you look at some of the things that are happening right now, in Texas and then in California and potentially Illinois and all like this redistricting battle, it's on a knife's edge. And I think it's going to come down to you know, the balance of power is going to come down to districts like this one.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. You know, it's amazing when I go to a Packer game, you know, there's three entities on the field and most everybody thinks that there's just two, right? So it's, yeah. it's the Packers and whoever they're playing. But there's a third element that without that element, the whole game would fall apart. And that's the referees.
Yep.
You know, so like in the partisan gerrymandering, for example, I mean, we need someone who is not beholden to the Republican Party to step up and say, this is wrong. And we need someone who's not beholden to the Democratic Party to do exactly the same.
Yeah. And it's, and the Republicans, you know, they're not going to do it. And I think that it's interesting because that idea is personified in the person who sits in the 8th district seat right now.
Yeah.
Tony Weed does not represent the people of Northeast Wisconsin. He is Trump endorsed Tony Weed, who represents the interests of that guy.
Yeah. I don't know Tony at all. I mean, I've met him one time, right? And I think the thing that I hear from voters more is that they would like to have access to their representatives more, not less, right? So I met Tony in at the parking lot at the Waupaca County Fair, and I'll tell you exactly what I told him. I shook his hand, and I said, you know, my goal is not to run any attack ads against you. I'm not running against you. I'm running for this seat. And I just said, the poison's got to stop.
Yeah, I can tell you, Tony Weed doesn't care. Which, geez. We're going to keep this conversation going. We're talking with Mark Scheffler here on the Rational Revolution. Stick around. We're going to hear, what's it going to take to win this race? We'll be back right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. Revolution. If you like what you hear, download, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. Wherever you get your podcast is where we are. We'd love to hear from you as well. Find us on social media. Look us up, civicmedia.us. And we're going to continue the conversation here with Mark Scheffler, candidate for the 8th Congressional District. We were talking about how, you know, the poison stuff has to stop. We got one more segment with you. And I totally agree with that. I think the things that you stand for are awesome. And I would love to be able to get there one day. But first we have to win.
Yeah.
You know? And the one thing that I think makes Tony Weed dangerous is because he doesn't care. You know, he hasn't shown up to talk to the voters of Northeast Wisconsin. He says, oh yeah, I go to the, you know, these corn roasts and all this other stuff. And like, it's cool, Tony, you can talk to the people that agree with you. What matters is how you talk to the people that don't.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we have to have the idea that, that we need to win this seat first, because this is, like, on this show, I always talk about what matters. It's not about left versus right. It's about right versus wrong. I think that's kind of what you say a little bit as well. And it's, we have to win first, and then we can kind of change. Because people like Tony Weed, they don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, you know, I think... I've never been a politician. I'm probably not a good politician at all. And I think that makes me perfectly suited to be a representative, to be honest.
I agree with that.
But so for a long, long time, I was one of the only people in Outagamie County that would go to the Democratic Party corn roast every year and the Outagamie Party Republican corn roast every year. And they're always within a few, you know, a few weeks of each other. And to be quite honest, the corn is excellent at both of them.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It
really is.
Yep.
Because I had friends on both sides, you know, and this is before I ran for office. And, you know, I'm just interested in a lot of universal issues. And the conversations, you know, that I have on both of them are usually really, really great conversations, almost always.
Yeah.
You know, and then when the politicians start to talk and the partisanship takes over, then things kind of go sideways. Yeah. You know, it's hard for sure. I think the people of America are just, they're tired of the robocalls. They're tired of the attack ads. I think they're tired of seeing the same attack ads all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm committed to writing one attack ad. It's going to be groundbreaking. It's actually going to be an attack ad against myself. I'm talking about how awful a politician I am.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So it starts off with the grainy screen, you know, the candidate, and it looks awful. And that's me actually. And then the voiceover comes on and says, Mark Scheffler is the worst politician ever.
Oh, boy.
And then the voiceover comes on and he says, he refuses to take money from his party. He refuses to tear down others to make himself look good. He can't even write a decent attack ad. He's the worst. And then I come on to say, I'm a worst politician ever, which makes me a good candidate to represent you. That's the kind of politics that I guess I represent. It's the politics of gratitude. It's the politics of, not being so serious and not taking myself so seriously too. And this is an important job, a really important job. But you talked about winning. So to win this seat, it's a big task. So I have to change 30,000 minds. Mm-hmm. So I know how those 30,000 minds are going to close right away. It's if I start to attack, the choices that they've made in the past. I don't want to do that. I think people are sick of the politics where people on the other side are always trying to convince them that they're wrong. I'm not ever going to convince anybody that they're wrong. What I need to do is to convince people that my path is a better path. This path forward is a better path forward. Mm-hmm. So I'll, he would talk time and time again, I'm not running against anybody. I'm running for this. I'll tell you what I'm for, not what I'm against.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one way to do it. I think you talk about taking it seriously and all that stuff. I think that would work, and I would challenge a little bit. I think that would work in a normal situation, but I don't think we're in that right now. And it's you look at the absence of truth from everything, where our healthcare is with Robert F. Kennedy running it, to where our the job numbers, and they fire the person that's responsible for it because they don't like the truth and all of this. I mean, we're not in a great place. And I'd love to be able to say, yes, let's talk about those things, because I totally agree with you. They matter, and it matters. But I think the seriousness to where we are as a country, it's a really tough place to be. And I'd love to be able to have those conversations with people about, let's come together. And I think we do need to do that, because those 30,000 people, and it might be a little less than that because Trump's not on the ballot. And I think Democrats are super enthused. So that 30,000 might be 2025, but to be able to say what really matters is winning, because we need to bring dignity and just truth back into the office. That's important too.
Yeah, the dignity piece, that's a huge part of it. You'll hear me talk a lot about human virtue, and that's something that I'm talking a lot about on the campaign. I am not so jaded to think that that virtue is completely thrown out the window.
Right.
I think it's very easy for partisan politicians to pull us in a direction. I see it on the left, I see it on the right. But when I have an earnest conversation with someone, like at the Wapaka County Fair or in Chilton, in a couple of days, overwhelmingly, these are positive conversations. I told you a second ago when we were offline that I went to the Wapaka County Fair and I probably handed out, 200 cards and shook 200 hands, veterans, farmers, people wearing, red hats, mm-hmm. right? And so these are people that would never, ever talk to a Democrat. Out of those 200, only one person refused to even have a conversation. So that tells me that there is a lot of openness. And I hear this all the time from Republicans. Put a D after your name, put an R after your name, doesn't matter. If I trust you, I'll vote for you. Mm-hmm. That's the big piece of it. And I know how to betray that trust, and that's a path that I'll never go down.
Yeah, and that's great. And I think, where we are as a country too, the lucky thing, I think, for you as a politician is we have someone in the 8th Congressional District that is pulling us to the right so far. So all you really have to do is be who you are and be a centrist and be a moderate, because you can talk to those farmers and say, hey, how are your workers doing right now? Are they scared? Are you having a tough time finding that? You can talk to people who are business owners and say, hey, how's inflation doing? Or talk to families and say, how's your grocery bill? And it doesn't matter if they have a red hat on or if they're wearing a blue Obama pin. It's not great. Mm-hmm. And you have a guy who in Tony Weed is trying to crap in your hand and tell you it's chocolate and say that things are wonderful and gas prices are low and this is, no, we're struggling and you're trying to tell me it's rainbows. So I think to be able to articulate that in a pretty strong way, you can articulate that from a centrist point of view and say, this sucks. Tony, it's your fault.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it is.
Yep. And talking to farmers, you know, talking about, so I talk a lot about economic sustainability. That's something that Democrats don't talk often enough. But a big piece of that, I mean, they say an army marches on its stomach. Well, a nation lives and breathes and dies on farmers.
Yes.
And so what farmers need to hear is that, you know, that there are issues that we do need to solve. A big issue right now is the issue of, you know, losing three of your biggest customers. I mean, most of the foreign money that comes into the 8th Congressional District comes from Canada, China, Mexico, right? And then another one that comes into especially rural is from the federal government. So subsidies for roads, subsidies for schools, subsidies for healthcare.
Right.
And I think in the next 6 months, maybe a year, I think people in the district will start to really feel, you know, are things getting better or not getting better?
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of blame to go around. There are a lot of choices that, you know, people aren't very good at explaining. But, you know, talk about economic sustainability and I talk about protecting Republican voters from Democratic Party gerrymandering at the same time that I talk about protecting Democrats from Republican Party gerrymandering.
Right.
You know, that cuts both ways as well. And then the environmental issue, you know, a lot of it is agriculture, to be quite honest. And I recognize, just like in my mom's side of the family, farmers are excellent stewards of the land.
Oh, yeah.
And if they can't be, it's not typically a choice that they make. It's an economic issue. Do they have the resources to do that or not? So these are a lot of universal issues that I'm finding a lot of affinity for. And honestly, in the 2 or 3 weeks that I've already been running, the response has been phenomenally positive. Yeah. Really positive.
That's good. We're talking to Mark Scheffler here. He's running for the 8th Congressional District. And yeah, I mean, I might push you a little bit because this is my district and I this matters too. And I would encourage, you know, don't be afraid to, I mean, not actually do it, but like punch him in the mouth a little bit because you have, you know, that's this stuff matters. And I think you don't have to bring people to the left to bring people into the tent.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, and how Tony Weed is going to run is this is great for you because he's going to run. He has to run on telling everybody how magnificent Donald Trump is because that's everything he's been saying for the last year. And that's all everything he's going to say for the next year. And so he's tying himself to that horse. And it's only by someone punching him in the mouth to say, hey, how's this working for you?
Yep.
You know, don't be afraid to do that. No. If I could give completely unsolicited advice, because these people, I've talked to them for the last 15 years. I know them like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is what they need to hear.
Yeah. One of the things that you'll find out about me right away is just this virtue of assertiveness. So assertiveness is being strong in your convictions and not being afraid to say what you mean. It's also the virtue of courage.
Yeah.
And, you know, courage isn't the absence of fear. It's doing something in spite of it, right?
Yes.
And so running for office, I think sometimes, especially in this day and age, you know, I think it's a courageous thing. So,
it is.
I mean, I do thank Tony Weed for putting himself out there.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to, you know, take an earnest look and just say, okay, are we getting the results that we want or not? And if we're not, then it's time for a change.
Scoreboard, dude.
Yes, scoreboard. Yep.
Yeah, we're gonna lower inflation on day one. Really. We're going to improve the job numbers. Really? Oh, you're going to be paying less at the grocery store. Really? Scoreboard. How is that working? Because it's not. It's not left or right. It's right or wrong. It's not working.
Yep. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's such a room to be able to have that conversation with people and with voters, regardless, left or right, to say, how are you really feeling? And then to be able to say, to tie that, Tony, this is your fault. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it is. Because he's not congressman of the 8th. He is Trump-endorsed Tony Weed. And whatever he wants, whatever Donald Trump wants, Tony Weed will do. And we need someone who represents the people of the 8th Congressional District, not the one guy who lives in D.C. who doesn't give a crap about us.
Yeah, I'll be nobody's congressman but yours.
Yeah, that's what we need. And that is a massive difference from what we have right now. We have 30 seconds left. What would be a message to people that they need to know about you, how to get involved, all that stuff?
Yeah, well, obviously I'm running as a Democrat, but I'm running as a different kind of a Democrat. So the thing that I really want to ask from the people of the 8th Congressional District is, over the next year, keep an open mind, engage me in conversation. You're going to see me in rural parts of the community. You're going to see me in red parts of the community. You're going to see me up and down the district. So when you see me, let's have an earnest conversation. Let's have a respectful conversation, and let's treat each other like neighbors and friends and citizens.
That would be awesome. I think that would be great. Yeah, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here in the Rational Revolution. Good luck. And I hope you come on back and let us know in a couple months how things are going. Give us an update, because we'd love to hear it. I'm Mark Becker. We're going to come back with my thoughts here right after this. Thanks. I'll tip my hat to the new Constitution. Think goodbye.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, and us feeling near as faded as my jeans.
What'd you think of that, folks? I tell you, this, by the way, Mark Becker here in the Rational Revolution. Thanks for tuning in. That was Mark Scheffler, who's running for the 8th Congressional District. Yeah, okay. A lot to unpack there, I think. I'm on my heels a little bit. I think he would do a good job. I hope that when it comes time to put up that fight, he's able to do that. Getting through the Democratic primary as it sits right now. So they got, right now there's two guys in the race. It's Mark Scheffler, and then it's a gentleman named Rick, who was a school board member, in Green Bay. I don't know how Rick's going to do. I'm sure he's going to listen to this, and he will absolutely have the invite to come on the show as well and introduce himself. And he should. Rick was endorsed by the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party in his race to the school board. And so that's going to be a really big speed bump for him to try to overcome. Rick's a brilliant guy and he's very articulate, and, it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. And I hope he does, come hang out with us and spend some time here, because I think we provide a value, but I think it's really interesting. And this is something that I think goes beyond Mark Scheffler, but the Democrats have to look at these mega seats and be willing to, not actually do this, but punch them in the mouth and hit hard, because these next, this midterm, we can talk about how, we're going to be a different kind of Democrat, or we can talk about wanting to, have all these values that we want to stick to and all this stuff. Here's what's going to be litigated in 2026. And it is the first 2 years of the Trump administration and the first 2 years of the Republicans having all of the control. How does it feel? How does it feel to see tanks on the streets of Washington, D.C.? How does it feel when you go to the grocery store and you go to check out? How does that feel? How does it feel to see the prices of things skyrocketing? How does it feel when those job numbers comes out? How does it feel, the economic uncertainty, when we look at where we are as a country? How does it feel to see the news come out and see Donald Trump slapping tariffs on the entire world and knowing that it's going to not come out of their pocket, but yours? How does that feel? That is what this is going to be about next November. That's what it's about. And we can talk about how, we have all of these values and this is what we're going to do. And, we want to have, peace and all of these things. Great. Cool. Wonderful. These are extraordinary times. And I would love to get back to talking about, hey, how can we bring, you know, how can we come together and all this stuff? Look, Donald Trump is destroying this country. Donald Trump is making it more difficult for you and for your families to not thrive, but to just function. Donald Trump is making it harder for you to feed your family. Donald Trump is making it a less safe place for your kids to go to school. Donald Trump is making it more dangerous for you to breathe the air because we don't believe in medications and common sense ways to fight disease. Donald Trump is destroying the future that you have for your children. And it is because of people like Tony Weed that is allowing it to happen. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. And I would love to be able to talk about these are the platforms and this is what we're going to do. I mean, you're one of 435. So honestly, what you got to do is take one of those people and push him back into retirement. Take Tony Weed and make him re-retire. Tony, you got millions from selling your gas stations. Go sit on a beach, because what you're doing when you're sitting in Congress is jack squat. You're not helping people. You're making people's lives harder. Period. You're making people's lives harder. And you're telling people that you're not, but you are. It's that simple. And there is a very clear path for a moderate Democrat to make that stick. Because I don't think it's going to get a ton better. I hope it does. I own a business. I have a family. I hope it gets better. I really do. Because at the end of the day, I love this country and I love, you know, my neighbors and my family and my parents, all that. But my God, there is one path here, and you thank God when it's so clear. And that path is we need to steer away from Trumpism. We have to get off this train. And it starts by taking the people that are steering that train and making them, you know, put them out to pasture. Get it, you know, you can enjoy your time in Myrtle Beach, Tony Weed, or wherever you'd like to go. Maybe just get a place at that stupid golf course in South Florida and go away. Because what you're doing is destroying people's lives. That's it. That's what this is about. That's it. Hey, I talked about that way longer than I thought I was going to, but I really appreciate you all joining in. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to be back next week here on The Rational Revolution. Thank you to Civic Media for giving me this microphone, and we'll hear you next week. And hey, check us out on social media. I'd love to hear what you think of the show. Message, call, whatever. Keep in touch. And once again, have a wonderful week, guys. Take care. Back down.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.